This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Push it to the limit.
Songbird Hugh is in the studio. Welcome back, Midday Show. We're now live on YouTube. Subscribe to the Sports Radio 94 WIP YouTube page. Be sure to turn on notifications so you never miss a show live 6A to 6P every single day, Monday through Friday. All right, Elliot's going to join us live from the owners' meetings in West Palm Beach coming up in a few minutes. He's at the press conference right now. They're announcing some of the rule changes. One that we know is not a rule change because they tabled the vote is the tush push. Apparently it was 16-16, a dead heat. Elliot will join us in a few minutes to discuss it. But I think this is bad news today for the tush push. The fact that they didn't just vote today, Hugh, it's someone involved wants them to keep considering it so they vote that way.
Well, I look at it like this. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that somebody that's in a position of power is trying to swing the votes. They didn't realize, I think maybe they didn't realize that the tush push was going to have as many, you know, devotees as it's had. Mm. So that's why they tabled it. But I don't think, even with that being the case, I still think the numbers favor the Eagles.
They do, but not a year ago. And I think we picked up on this at the combine. A year ago, it felt like they didn't get any push, no pun intended, to get this out. Now it feels like, Kyle, they're getting, if half the league is against this, that it's moving away from the Eagles.
I wonder why.
No, we know what this is. People know that this is what the Eagles are the best at this. They won. It's an easy way to level the playing field a little bit. The injury crap is total nonsense.
It's crap,
proactive about it is nonsense. It's not a football play is nonsense. They're all lying as to why they want this tush push ban. You know what I think is pretty funny, though, today that I'm picking up on? A lot of the callers are saying, the Eagles don't need this play.
Nah.
But in the same breath, they're all pissed off that the league wants to ban it.
Well, there's a principle to it, taking something away for no reason.
Well, it's a hater move.
It is a hater move.
It's a hater move.
You think it's coping, Kyle?
Yeah.
No, it's failed. See, this is what it is to me. If there was, just like anything, if you don't like somebody, just say you don't like them. Don't make up all these different excuses about why this, that, and the third. Just be a man and say you don't like them.
I think what's happening here is that the writing is on the wall, that this thing maybe has 1 year left.
If that.
Until it's banned.
Yeah.
Right. If they don't get rid of it in May. And Eagles fans are doing what they always do, and everything's going to be fine. The Eagles are great. We'll figure it out. Just like when we lose great players on defense, these young guys are going to be great. You know,
Chauncey wasn't that good anyway.
It's a very similar level of coping to me.
Well, it's been the offseason of coping. I mean, I would agree with that. It's been since the Super Bowl, it's been a lot of coping. 215-592-9494. We also are tracking football guys and non-football guys around the NFL. If you're a football guy, you want to keep the tush push. If you're a non-football guy, you don't want it. So far, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Joe DeCamera, Raheem Morris, the biggest non-football guys. Am I missing anyone? Am I missing any non-football guys that you guys know of? Anyone else?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, just want to make sure.
You sure?
Anyone else publicly has been anti-tush push?
Like around here?
Like on the afternoon show, anything like that? Okay, we'll keep looking. But I need my full list of football guys.
It is interesting that a lot of the people in the NFL who played football,
I know what y'all are trying to do.
Are for keeping this.
I know what y'all are trying to do.
The people who didn't are for banning it.
I mean, football guys and the football guys.
I know what y'all trying to do.
No, I'm just writing
Hugh,
columns,
name
Hugh.
These, I don't know nobody.
This is
Jeff McClain.
Did he give an opinion on the tush push?
I don't know. You want me to name names?
I think you just bullied Jeff.
Non-football guy,
I'm not
Jeff
a bully.
McClain.
Jeff, if you listen to me,
I'm the non-football guy column. That's all right.
I'm not a bully. You're just not a warm and fuzzy guy.
Was I right or wrong to put him in the non-football guy?
You're not a warm and fuzzy guy.
Yeah, sometimes.
What does your shirt say right now?
Not that friendly.
You're wearing it on YouTube?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Well, I thought you were going to wear bright colors. Are you blending in
again? This is kind of bright. This is kind of bright.
It's camo. That's the exact opposite.
Camo is bright.
Okay, since we're here.
What? No.
Since we're here. I'm like, damn. I have mostly dark colored T-shirts because you know what I mean. Yeah. I didn't know
you need some bright clothes.
I didn't know that. I was
you did.
Be,
you did have an issue on the first day.
You know what I'm
in comparison to what you wore the first day.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm doing. I'm getting better. You know, at least I turned the lights on. The lights are on.
Well, that's good. Well, I think we have no choice on that. The lights got to be on in here.
Well, I the first day, full disclosure, I asked to turn them down a little bit.
No one could see.
And nobody could see me.
We need the lights on.
All they saw was my teeth.
All right, let's go
and
to
my beard.
Self. Speaking of those teeth, dentist good yesterday? Thumbs up?
Yeah, the dentist was great.
Self in North Philly's up. What's up, Self?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
what's
Self.
Up, man?
Hey, listen, man. Ban it, man.
Not a football guy.
Hey, you can say what you want, but I'm going to tell you why. First of all, that play getting on my damn nerves.
Why?
Like, they run it at 4th and 9. They just run it too much. Like, unnecessary.
4th and 9?
When did they run it on 4th and 9?
I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I'm saying that's just how much they run it. Like, they don't care. They run it on 3rd down. They're running on 1st down. Like, they just overdo it with it.
Could you imagine the station if the Eagles ran that play on 4th and 9?
Oh, I'd flip out.
Hey, listen, it's coming. But listen, but more so importantly, because yesterday I was like, you know, if they going to ban that, then they might as well ban gang tackling and pushing runners, you know, for 1st downs and all that stuff. So to get rid of all of that, just ban it. You know what I mean? Let it be original. Let the game be played the original way it's supposed to be played. You know what I mean? And if you're that team, you're going to do it with or without that play. But more importantly, man, I'm going to tell you something. And I got a quick point to make on that torpedo bat thing, too. But I'm going to tell you something. When I watch them run the touch push, man, I'm going to be honest. I look at the linemen's necks, and I don't want none of them being paralyzed because they got a neck injury. Like, that, they get real low, man. And that looks dangerous. I don't care what nobody say. That play looks dangerous. It don't look like the original quarterback sneak line when they push.
Zero
like
injuries
really
so far.
Getting low. You know what I'm saying?
So it does look that way. And when they first started doing it, I was concerned. But it has been 4 years now, and nobody seems to get hurt doing it.
But, Joe, what I'm saying is it only take that one stop.
Oh, yeah. He's being
so
proactive.
Not reactive.
Before reactive.
I got that.
Yep.
All right, so what do you think about the torpedo bat, Self?
I mean, what's coming next? The smart ball for pitchers where the ball slow up when the batter swing and then go 4-3? Like, what in the Captain Caveman baseball are we doing now? Yeah, I mean, like, what's going on with sports where everybody has to look for some type of way to get an edge up on somebody? Look, do it the original way. Baseball is played with hand-eye coordination and strength and power. That's it. We done took the steroids out of the player, and now we're putting it in the bat. Like, this is getting stupid, man. Yeah, I mean, it's getting stupid. So ban them both. Ban them both.
Well, so here's the thing. It's Self, good phone call as always. There's always innovation in sports. Isn't that part of it? Now, the Yankees happen to use a guy for MIT. I think he works for the Marlins now. I think he moved on from the Yankees with wherever he is. But Babe Ruth used to use a bat that looked like a tree trunk. And then eventually it was like, that's really heavy. Why don't we make the bat a little lighter? Like, there's always innovation in this. This is just the latest thing. I think it's cool. I mean, I don't know why everyone's upset about this. It's just moving the weight of the bat to a different spot. It's just, I don't know why it's getting everyone all crazy here.
I always, especially in baseball, it's just weird to me how a lot of the people that watch, and I understand, like Devin made a compelling argument yesterday. Baseball is the one sport that we watch nowadays that is rooted in I can't even think about the stats.
Yes.
The stats from the past that have stood the test of time.
Right. Like, if I say to you, who has the most home runs ever, you'd say Henry Aaron.
Yeah.
If I said to you, top 5 home runs, you could probably guess Henry Aaron, Babe
like,
Ruth.
Oh, but the old hits.
If I said to you, most passing yards, you might have to think about it. Like, you would say Brady, but, like, we don't even pay
attention.
These are
stats.
It's a numbers game more than other sports.
Thank you, Joe, for saying it like that. These are stats that have stood the test of time. But I can make an argument that's why baseball has been stagnant over the last few years. I can make an argument that's why baseball revenue has fallen off in the pit. They're making more money than anybody because nobody's watching the game. But now, guess what's happened over the last couple years in baseball?
They've tried to flip it.
They flipped it, and more people are watching baseball now. Baseball is a game that, when I think about it, it just burns my biscuits when I hear, like I used to hear, like old guys that talked about the game, that played the game. They would get mad because the young kids wore gold chains, and they would do the bat flips and things of that nature. And what was the mantra a few years ago? Let the kids play. Mm-hmm. They're trying their damnedest to get younger because the problem, most of the people that watch baseball are older. No disrespect to the old cats. I'm one of them myself. But they're trying to find ways to get younger. And the simple fact that this weekend there was a groundswell of people talking about these torpedo bats. Everybody, that was on everybody's lips this weekend during the Final Four. During the Final Four.
Well, even yet, like yesterday during the home opener, it was a big thing that Bohm had one of the bats.
Yes.
I don't see the downside.
All publicity is good publicity, and this is great. I think this is great for baseball.
Look, if it changes the game significantly, then they'll take it away in a year. Well, let's see what happens. Are you out on torpedo bats over
it
there?
It sounds like it.
I could see Kyle.
I think I am out on torpedo bats.
I respect it. I do respect it because, like I said, Kyle, it's one of those games, and I'm going to let you speak. It's one of those games that is rooted in history. I get that.
It's not, and I guess I'm going to sound like I'm one of those, like, baseball purist curmudgeons here, but
old
like
guy Quinn.
Well, I mean, is pitching now eventually going to become like defense in the NFL, where it's a luxury, according to Hugh Douglas?
See, how did I catch a strike?
Well, you earned one.
Well, you are.
I earned a strike. Thanks a lot.
I do think over the years, pitching has developed quicker than hitting. Right? Everyone throws 98 now. They have ridiculous spin. It's become harder to hit. It's why most guys hit like 240 now, and we just accept it. I'm ready for the offensive players to fight back. Now they have torpedoes.
I'm just worried that it's going to become a little bit of a problem. And I like seeing, like, the home run is fun. But, man, what I like the most about baseball is the play at the plate or the ball going to the wall and action on the base pass, right?
The ball going over
the fence on every hit is going to be boring. I'm sorry.
So there is one downside that we haven't really discussed.
What's that?
Is Taiwan going to survive the torpedo bat era?
He'll be fine.
I don't think so.
I believe in Taiwan.
He pitched to like a 70 ERA without Thursday. Torpedo bats.
Until Thursday rolls around. And then, I think he's going to win Thursday.
The game?
So much so.
The game?
So much so. As soon as I get into my account, I'll put some money on that.
You're betting on Taiwan on Thursday?
Taiwan, yes. $100.
Are you going to guarantee it?
$100?
No.
There's no way.
I'm glad we're on TV. Did you see Joe's face? Winning pitcher, Taiwan Walker. $100.
You know, as a friend, I got to tell you not to do that.
You know what? You know how when they say your mouth that wrote a check, that your ass can't cash?
That Taiwan's ass can't cash.
No, I feel good about it. Can I walk that back with $25?
You said 100 on the air. That counts. By the way, before we go back to the phones here, you are getting cooked in the avocado aphrodisiac.
Wait a minute. How am I getting cooked?
Because no one believes in avocados.
Because nobody's smart enough to be innovative me. Listen.
Avocados become very popular. People eat all the time. Don't you think people would start realizing that there's effects to this?
Okay. There are no scientific evidence to suggest that avocados are an aphrodisiac.
Well, that's all you need.
However,
that sounds like you lost.
However, the nutritional value can positively impact sexual function and reproductive health. Hmm. That's what it says.
So hold on,
it's just good for overall
health. It impacts healthy blood flow.
I get it.
Healthy blood flow.
But I don't think that's
this
an aphrodisiac.
This feels like a stretch, man.
Healthy blood flow.
But
that helps.
But that just, no, I'm not, you know, I'm going to leave it here.
I'm just saying it helps. Right, blood flow helps. Blood helps.
But a lot of things impact blood flow. I mean, a lot of things do. Let's go to Big V in Mount Laurel. You know what, Big V? Hold on. Elliot's here. I feel bad if Big
Vitamin
V.
E.
But he's going to have to just take a hold on. We'll be right with you, Big V. And let's go to Elliot Shore Parks down at the NFL owners meetings where the league has tabled the vote for the tush push. Elliot, how we doing?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Hey, I can tell right now, Elliot, you have a pep in your step. As far as my vote is concerned, which I don't have one, you're the early leader in the clubhouse for Insider of the Year for 2026? 2025?
That would be 2026, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're the early leader in the clubhouse. You are down there putting reporters to shame, asking the hard questions. Brother, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Look, it's all about doing it again, right? Last year was last year. It's a new season, so just trying to be the best.
That's
again.
What I'm talking about, Elliot. Lead into it. Lead into it. Did you wear
exactly
your chain
right.
down there, man? Did you wear the chain?
No, Joe. I'm debuting the chain at Pool to Hugh there. I'm debuting the chain at the draft party.
I'm
so
proud
anyone
of that.
That wants to come to the draft party, you know, you'll get to
chain?
See it.
That's what I'm
yeah,
talking
I got,
about.
I got you.
That's
yeah,
my
yeah.
inside of the year, back to back, working on that back to back.
It's going to be a big
exactly
night
right.
when the chain is debuted. All right, Elliot, what's your take on what happened today? So we were waiting the vote, and then they said, nope, no vote. According to a couple of reporters, and one from the Washington Post I saw, it sounded like about 16-16 would have been the vote today, which would have meant the Tush Push would have stayed, right? They needed 24 votes to get it out. But they tabled this thing until a later date, maybe May. What's your take on where we're at right now with this Tush Push debate within the NFL?
Yeah, so I think the Tush Push is likely not back next year, or at least not the same version of it. I just left the competition committee press conference, and Rich McKay, who's co-chair of the committee, talked about the concerns with the play. And he said there were essentially, I would say, two main concerns. One, obviously safety. And then two, he mentioned just frankly how it looks. The pulling, is it football? The pushing, is it a rugby play? So he said those were really the two concerns. And, you know, I asked him afterwards, why is there a concern with safety if the play has been run for 3 years and there's been essentially no injuries? And, you know, what he said was that while safety is part of it, that, you know, a lot of the anti-tush-push people, I guess I'll call them, had a concern with just how the play looks, like the term rugby play was used. So my main takeaway from leaving that that press conference is obviously the safety has been a big talking point over the past few days. But I think if this goes, it will be just as much because of the way it looks as opposed to the safety concern.
So here's my issue with and it's all, and I think you posted something earlier this morning with LaFleur talking. None of this seems consistent, and I feel like they're opening a can of worms here, Elliot. Like, if you tell me they're going to take a play away from the NFL because of how it looks, I can respond and say, well, why do we allow quarterback kneels at the end of a game? It's stupid. I mean, like, who wants to watch a quarterback just put a knee down and the clock run out? Like, I don't understand why they're choosing this play to kind of take a hardline stance on how it looks. It's bizarre to me, especially with how infrequently it's run across the NFL.
Well, and especially, let's be honest, it looks a lot like a quarterback sneak.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you put 100 of them on tape and showed somebody who had never watched football before to differentiate between 50 tush pushes and 50 quarterback sneaks, I don't think they would say there is a main difference. So if you want to say just like a scrum aspect of it is not appealing or a football play, then ban quarterback sneaks as well. Like, I mean, the pushing is part of it. But if we're going to remove the safety aspect and just focus on the visual of how it looks, it's not much different than that. And here's just the frustrating truth that the Eagles and like their fans are going to have to accept, that there is really no rhyme or reason to this, right? Like, it could just be enough teams don't like it simply because they don't like it. And that's that. And let's be honest here. If we want to say from a competitive standpoint, if I'm Washington or if I'm Detroit or if I'm Kansas City, why wouldn't I ban this play? Like, I don't run it. The Eagles run it. And it helps the Eagles because they're so good at short yardage. Now, I think the Eagles will still convert at a high rate. But if they're going to say in this competition committee thing that safety is not like the driving force, then let's just say what it is. It is a preference thing. And I think the rest of the league prefers the Eagles couldn't run this play.
Elliot, who stood out to you in terms of their voice and how strong they are? I mean, I know LaFleur has been on this. You were at the press conference yesterday with McDermott at the AFC Coaches Breakfast. McVay seems to be on that side of it. McVay's pretty long tenured, and so is McDermott. I mean, I imagine their voice carries some weight here.
Yeah, and McVay is one we should probably focus on a little bit more than we have. Obviously, McDermott yesterday, you know, that was a big talking point with the safety thing. But McVay has been quoted as saying it's not a football play. He doesn't think it looks like a football play. And if, you know, McVay has won a Super Bowl, he's a powerful coach around the league. If he is going to say to people this doesn't look like football, that is a powerful voice to have to combat. So you mentioned it's 16-16 is the report. I think everyone needs to look at it as if the NFL wanted the tush push to stay, they would have just had the vote today. But
right.
because that they are tabling this and they're moving it to the future, that is a strong indication of what they want to have happen. They want this play to be banned. Otherwise, it would just be voted today. So maybe next year there will be some variation where, you know, there will still be quarterback sneaks, but I think that when this is voted on again in May, that you will likely see the play altered in some way.
Elliot, one proposal was passed today that this was the Eagles' proposal, which is overtime. It's going to be now the same as the postseason and the regular season. So both teams will get possession of the ball in OT no matter if the team that gets the ball first scores a touchdown. So that that was the Eagles' proposal. You like that one?
Yeah, to be honest, I felt a little bit like McNabb listening to that because I've been so focused on the tush-push. I'm not sure I really understand what the new overtime rule is yet. But, yeah, I mean, if both teams are going to get the ball, yeah, I think that's a positive. So the Eagles can chalk up one win for today, at least.
Well, we'll take that. Elliot, your takeaways from the other part of this, which is for the first time since, I guess, the Combine, we get to hear from Howie and Nick Sirianni. You did with Howie yesterday. We all heard Sirianni this morning at the breakfast you were at. What stood out the most? Let's start with Howie because, you know, that was not something that was broadcast. We just saw some of the quotes. You were there. What stood out to you from Howie speaking yesterday?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say this is everything he said, but just my sense of being there for Howie and being here the past 2 days is that, you know, patience is probably a word the Eagles want fans to have right now. And this is what he said at the Combine. So I think if you look at the Eagles roster, we can all agree as currently constructed, they have, if not the best roster in the NFL, they're certainly top five, wherever you want to put it. But we can also all agree they have some holes. There's the hole at safety, you know, the cornerback number two spot, the right guard. Like there are some obvious spots where you could go, you know, there's a question mark there. I think the Eagles are attacking the rest of this offseason before week one with a mindset of let's see how the young guys do. Let's see how Sidney Brown does. Let's see how Kelee Ringo does. Let's see how Tyler Steen and Kenyon Green look. And we'll give them a chance. But if, you know, entering week one or the third week of training camp, it's obvious that maybe one of them is not playing to where they need to be. I think the Eagles believe they have enough assets piled up. I think it's something like 20 draft picks over the next few years where they'll just go out and trade for somebody. So, I love talking about the Eagles more than anybody. I love the roller coaster of concern. But I think it's very obvious that if you're someone who's concerned about the safety spot, if the safety's not playing well, they'll just make a trade. But I don't think they're going to make a big-time move between now and when they hit the field for practice, because I think they genuinely want to give these guys a shot.
Elliot, Sirianni spoke this morning. I heard you ask him, I think it was you asked him the question, but you put up the video about his contract situation, which,
it was you.
Yeah, okay, so his contract is up after this coming season. I would be shocked if he goes into the year as a lame duck, but nothing's done yet. What'd you take away from his answer? And then when do you think something would happen here? And why do you think it hasn't happened yet?
Well, so I was in the same camp, it sounds like you were, where when I was in the, you know, the locker room when they were celebrating the Super Bowl, I thought it would maybe be like 3 days before that contract's announced. It seems like a pretty straightforward negotiation. But if you look back in 2017, when they won that Super Bowl, Doug's extension was not announced until August that, you know, that following season, essentially, like in training camp. So there is a bit of a precedent of them not doing it right away. Being next to Nick today when I asked him, the sense I get is it's not something they're concerned about, but also probably not something they want to talk about right now, right? Because, you know, they're focusing on other things. So I agree with you. I would be stunned if Nick enters next season on what's essentially a one-year deal. Jeffrey Lurie is going to talk in a few hours here, and when he does, I'm sure he'll be asked about it, and he'll probably say something similar, which is, you know, Nick's going to be here a long time. I'm not going to talk about contracts, but he'll get one.
I'm curious, Elliot, because you've been down there, and I'm pretty sure you've been moving and shaking and moving around buildings. Outside of the heated conversation that Howie had with Coach McVay, have you witnessed any more lobbying down there in Florida? Have you seen any more, like, maybe heated conversations or some controversial conversations?
Well, so I will say it's definitely the topic of conversation. It feels like no matter where I'm at, last night they had a big party for everybody here, owners, head coaches, Serena Williams, Guy Fieri was there. So it was a star-studded event, to say the least. But
why is Guy Fieri there?
Well, maybe
that's the dude with the hair, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the cooking guy, yeah.
She married, though, right?
She can still
go to a party.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, why you? Never mind. I'm getting in trouble. Okay, just go ahead.
But she's a famous athlete. He's just a chef with a TV show.
No, but I'm saying, why is she at the NFL owners' meeting?
I think Guy Fieri's pretty popular. Yeah. I would say he's pretty well known.
Yeah, I think his
Donner's
best days
Robinson
are over.
Dives, man. Come on.
Yeah, it's over now.
The spiky hair dude,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ed. We're sorry.
Yeah,
if I see her later, I'll tell her to follow you on Instagram.
No, don't do that. I'm just kind of curious. Why, like, at the owners' meeting, why is she there? Like, she trying to own the team?
Maybe.
I think part of it is we're just at a really nice hotel in a warm weather place.
So she just happened to be at the same hotel.
No, I don't know that, but she's just a nice place to hang out.
I think you're prying a little too much.
Well, yeah, I got hung up on the wrong thing, dog.
Obviously,
I'm hung up on Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Although I will say, when I said that Serena and Guy Fieri was there, I thought I would get Hugh's attention. So maybe that one was.
I remember
it worked.
At the Pro Bowl.
But no, I mean, just everywhere you go here, the Tush Push is the main topic of conversation, and everybody has an opinion on it. So I haven't seen any heated debates. I think the idea it was heated is probably overblown a little bit, to be honest, just from what I've heard. But I everybody here, the Tush Push is it's a perfect conversation point. It's simple. It's, you know, like, that is the main topic here. So everyone has an opinion on it for sure.
Well, Elliot, we appreciate hopping on and great work this week. And because of your work, we've been putting together a list here of true football guys and non-football guys. And unfortunately, Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur, they're out. You know, they're not football guys anymore. So the list.
Well, I got something for you there, too.
Oh, what is it?
If you watch the way Nick Sirianni carries himself here, like football guy clothes, right? Like an Eagles shirt, shorts, a hat. You look at McVay and LaFleur, they got on well-tailored jackets, tight pants like I do. Like, you know,
he
not
said
really
tight
football
pants
guy.
Like I do.
Not really football guy attire, I would say.
Yeah, no, Nick's moving up the ranks of football guys. He's proven himself there to be one. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your time there, and we'll talk soon.
Have a good one, man.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys
later. All right, there he goes. Elliot Shore Parks with us from West Palm Beach, the site of the owners' meetings. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls in the Tush Push. Elliot believes this thing is about to be gone. Maybe as early as next month. The owners tabled this till next month for a vote. I think the Eagles will be fine without it. They don't need it. Where do you come down? Elliot seems to think it's gone. Do you think the Eagles need this play? Plus, we'll check in with the Phillies' rivals. There have been some significant odds movements already in the NL East. One team that was the favorite a week ago, they're in a bad way right now. 215-592-949 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Baseball fans love the long ball. And FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving you even more reasons to love home runs every Tuesday during the MLB season. Because with Dinger Tuesdays, all FanDuel customers get a home run profit boost. That means when you bet on moonshots, you can take your winnings to new heights. So whether it's a big blast or an oppo boppo, FanDuel is your home for betting home runs. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and gear up to go yard all season long. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to claim your Dinger Tuesday profit. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.